Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we look at chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for these hard words that were difficult for Belshazzar to hear. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would watch over us as we look again at this passage. Help us to understand how great you are and good you are and how we are found wanting when weighed in the scales, when we stand on our own. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the writing's on the wall. I'm sure you've heard that phrase a million times. It's a very common phrase. It's so famous, but not many people know where it comes from. And it comes from, well, here in Daniel chapter 5. The saying means that something like the doom is inevitable or the end is nigh, something along those lines. And it expresses the fact that defeat is certain. The position is untenable. And merely the formalities of the final defeat have to be concluded. The writing's on the wall. But what did the original writing on the wall say? Who wrote it? And who was it addressed to? Well, the who was the last king of Babylonia, the co-regent Belshazzar, who sees the writing. Let's read about it again in verse 5. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Once again, in the book of Daniel, we see a supposedly all-powerful ruler troubled by a message sent from God. It's a case of another troubled king. One of the themes that we keep seeing again and again in the book of Daniel is the lack of power of human rulers. The kings of Babylonia, whose power is feared by the known world of the time, are reduced to sleeplessness, madness, or in this case, a quivering mess. Seemingly all-powerful leaders are fearful or humiliated. They are certainly weak. And friends, the message of Daniel in this regard is very clear to us, that human rulers are not as powerful as they might seem to be. Compared to the awesome power of God, the greatest of human rulers are nothing. God is always in control, and his purposes cannot be thwarted by mere men. So let us not be fooled by the noise and show of world leaders, or national leaders, or even social media leaders. They are not powerful at all compared to our God. So what of the writing on the wall? Well, let's look at verse 26. Turn with me to verse 26. Here is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. The first message that the writing delivers is that Belshazzar's days are numbered. And as most kings leave the throne only by death, to say your reign is over is to say that your life is over. Belshazzar's days have been numbered and he has reached his allotted span. And the first message, therefore, is your life is over. Friends, God doesn't just number the days of the great leaders of the world, the great men and women of our time. He numbers all our days. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. Life is short. It flies by, and soon it is gone. And contrary to popular belief, you can't extend the days of which God has allotted to you. God has numbered all our days. And there are two important things to realize from this, two important implications for living life. The first is that we shouldn't worry about how long we might live. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 27, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So worry is futile. We should be prudent with the gift of life that God has given us, yes, but there's no point in worry about it. God has numbered our days, and worry will not lengthen them or shorten them, but it may well make them miserable. The second thing to realize is that our days will end. Our days are numbered, and one day everyone's number comes up. One day we will all face our Maker. Whether we are ready for that day or not. It's coming, ready or not. Friends, let us make every effort to be ready for that day. For God has numbered our days, and one day we will stand before Him. Verse 27. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. The second message that the writing delivers is that Belshazzar has been weighed and found wanting. And that's a curious phrase, isn't it? What does he mean by that? Well, it derives itself from the weighing of coins or other valuable products in a balance. You know the idea of having two things that weigh, and then you provide something and it goes like this. And then you add more things on, and then you have a weight, a clear weight. Now, usually it would be a coin or a gold bar, and you would add things to get to the standard weight. Sometimes it would be agricultural products, where you're weighing a bushel of wheat, for instance. So these things is relating to something that is underweight. When something is found wanting, it is underweight. It has not reached the standard weight, the weight it was supposed to reach, and hence it has been found wanting. If you want to think of something that is underweight, think about a wallaby's forward pack. Often underweight and outclassed. Just the way it is. To put it simply, Belshazzar's performance is not up to scratch. It wasn't his ability as a ruler that was the problem. It was his arrogant defiance of God described in verse 23. It was Belshazzar's sin that meant that he was found wanting. His sin meant he was not up to the standard set by God. Now, before we sit and condemn Belshazzar as some ancient and terrible wicked king, we would do well to consider whether we meet God's standard. Do we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? The Bible tells us the answer. In Romans 3 verse 10, where it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one makes it up to God's standard. Because of our sin, We are all lightweights. We are all found wanting along with Belshazzar. The third piece of writing. Peres. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. The third message the writing delivers is one of judgment. Not only will Belshazzar die, but his kingdom will be conquered and dismembered. Now, a king's main task is to defend his people. And God's third message, therefore, is that Belshazzar's reign will go down in history as a failure. It is the shame of a captain to lose his ship, and so the shame of a king is to lose his kingdom. Belshazzar will be listed as one of history's losers. God's judgment on Belshazzar is to die in shame and disgrace. So what judgment awaits us who are also found wanting, just like Belshazzar? What does God have in store for us? Well, in Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus speaks of the eternal punishment. That is God's judgment on those found wanting. God's just punishment for sin is hell. And friends, if the concept of hell doesn't fill you with fear, then you don't understand it. It is right to be fearful of it. Indeed, we should be as weak-kneed and ashen-faced as King Belshazzar whenever we think about the judgment of God. Well, is there any hope? Is what we cry at this point, isn't it? For we know we don't meet God's standard. We're all found wanting when weighed on God's scales. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve hell. Is there any hope? Well, the answer is yes, isn't it? But not in ourselves. Come with me to Romans chapter 3 and you'll see that hope. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned, and none of us are righteous according to God's standard. In fact, you notice there it's the concept of, you can see it on the screen, falling short of the glory of God. What a similar concept to being found wanting. That is our situation before God. But these verses tell us the good news that although we are found wanting, we can be declared righteous by God if we have faith in Jesus. And this is not some legal loophole devised by some clever lawyer. Our judgment is still paid for, but not by us, rather by Jesus on the cross. For although Jesus was not found wanting by God, he always measured up to God's standard. He was not found wanting. But for us, he took the punishment that we deserved because we were found wanting. It's as if our sin makes us as lightweight as a pebble. You know, the kind that you kick over in the car park on the way to morning tea. And Jesus' perfect life is as heavy as a good solid brick that's just the right weight, the standard weight. And when we put our trust in Jesus, our weights are exchanged. Our tiny pebble for Jesus' brick that is the perfect standard weight. Our sinfulness for Jesus' sinlessness. And so that when we are weighed by God, we aren't found wanting after all. We are found to have the correct weight. And so we are declared righteous because of our faith in Jesus. Friends, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then let me say to you this morning, you are on dangerous ground like King Belshazzar. Your days are numbered, and one day you will face God. What will you say to God on that day? When your life is weighed, you will be found wanting, just like he was. For no one comes even close to meeting God's standard other than Jesus. So friends, let me encourage you to cease trusting in your own gravitas, your own weight, and trust in Jesus and his death for you. His death paying the price for your weightlessness. Trust Jesus and commit your life to him, for that is the only hope of all who are found wanting. And friends, if you have put your trust in Jesus, if you're sitting here this morning saying, yes, I have, then be assured that on the last day you will not be found wanting when your days are numbered. You will stand before God and he will declare you right with him. He will declare you righteous, even though you haven't been, because of Jesus' righteousness. His weight tips the scales for you. So be assured that God's judgment will not touch you. And you will enter heaven with great joy. And friends, it is good now to get some practice on that eternal praise that's there in heaven for this great salvation. Let us start by praising him in prayer now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that although King Belshazzar was found wanting and we are found wanting when weighed in the balance, you are a good and gracious God. And through your Son, Jesus, have provided the way for forgiveness, the way for people who are not righteous to be declared righteous by you, the way for people who are found wanting to be judged as the perfect weight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would cause us to remember this, both in the depths of our sin, when we despair at our sin. Help us to remember and be assured of your forgiveness through Jesus' death. But also in the moments when we might be tempted to have pride and to think of ourselves as adding something to our salvation. At that moment, may we remember Daniel 5 and be humbled and realize there is no one righteous other than Jesus and those found in Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, and thank you for your great mercy, for your goodness and grace to us in Jesus. And we long for the day when we will stand before you and you will cause the gates to open for us because of Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are going to praise you forever, that you will fill our life with praise now for your grace and mercy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.